In this week's parasha, Yaakov gives the brachas to all of his sons, or whatever exactly he gives to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. When he blesses Yosef, so he says, "Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Barale Ayin." And based on this pasuk, as well as another pasuk, this week's parasha, right? In the bracha to Yosef's sons, where he says, Chazal, based on both of those psukim, assert that Yosef and his family are impervious to the effects of Ayin Hara. So just to talk a few minutes about what it is and some halachic implications of it. So again, the Gemara in Brachos Nunhei and in Daf Chaf and several other places says that if one is afraid of the Ayin Hara, so you should go into the city and you should say, "I am from the descendants of Yosef," because either Ben Parat Ali Ayin, he's above the eye, or V'yidgu Larov Bekerav Haaretz, they're like fish who are under the sea, which are protected from Ayin Hara, and then he'll be protected from the Ayin Hara. And the Gemara in Daf Chaf says that Yoshua gave advice to the children of Menashe that they should go and they should conquer in the forest so they would be hidden and they wouldn't be subject to the Ayin Hara. And they said, "We don't have to, we come from the children of Yosef." So what is this idea of Ayin Hara? So just quickly, right, there's a few different explanations in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Apparently, for some reason, there's a book written on this topic, Ayin Hara Be'ayna Yadut, where he summarizes many of these positions. So some of the Rishonim, and this was common not just amongst the Jews, this was true amongst many people throughout history, thought that eyes had actual powers, and the Ralbag and his Karama and others talk about this possibility that eyes actually emit some sort of vapors, some sort of magic something that can damage you. The Svarno is a more spiritual explanation that it means that when you do something that calls attention to yourself, so people think about you, and that they're focusing on the good things happening to you, and maybe that arouses the judgment of God. In the Sefer, about Ayin Hara, right, he notes that these two positions would lead to a machlokas, whether Ayin Hara is really about your eyes or about the mind, right? If someone wasn't actually looking at you, but he was thinking jealously of you, would that cause Ayin Hara? So if it's about some magic force coming out of your eyes, then it wouldn't help that he was thinking badly of you. But if it's about thought, then perhaps it would. And then there are others who I take more rationalist things, that maybe it's just not right for you to call attention to yourself, or like the Rambam, to basically say that this was some sort of superstition and reject it. The Rambam, for example, in several of the cases the Gemara brings about Ayin Hara, for example, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that if you find a lost object, you shouldn't deal with it in public because you might cause an Ayin Hara. Or it might get stolen. The Rambam only focuses on the second reason, that it might get stolen. The Gemara in other places in Bava Basra says that you shouldn't stare as somebody is collecting his grain, because you'll cause an Ayin Hara. And the Rambam reinterprets it and says you shouldn't do it because you should provide privacy. And so again, so you have these range of opinions, from the metaphysical to the spiritual to the rational, to really rejecting it for halachic purposes. But just some of the issues that come out from this, whatever exactly it is, just a few halachic issues. So one, which seems to be the most accepted, I think, in halacha l'maisa day to day, is Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Haim, Siman Kof Mem Aleph, says that you shouldn't have two brothers get aliyot consecutively because of Ayin Hara. And for the most part, even people who are in general not so concerned about Ayin Hara do seem to paskin like this. The exception of the Aruch HaShulchan. Many of the poskim, some of the other contexts, like, you know, looking at someone while they're bringing in their produce and the like, say, they invoke the principle that the Gemara brings at the end of Psachim with regards to Shedim, the Mandalo Kabdinan Lay, that one who doesn't care about Shedim, doesn't believe in them, isn't worried about them, they won't bother him. So many of the poskim, some of the other contexts, say that as long as you don't worry about Ayin Hara, you don't really, right, you don't think about it, you don't believe in it, whatever it is, it can't bother you. And therefore they say you can you don't have to be worried about the other halacha. This halacha, they do paskin that you're not allowed to have two brothers get aliyot, one after the other. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, invokes the principle even here and says, no, we don't really care about Ayin Hara, and therefore two brothers are allowed to get consecutive aliyot. This doesn't seem to be normative psak, but that is the position of the Aruch HaShulchan. There's ensuing machlokot amongst the poskim of who exactly this applies to. Does it apply to grandsons as well? And we tend to think that Maker Adin, it doesn't, but some people want to be machmir with grandsons. What if it's not two consecutive aliyot, but it's Shvi'i and Maftir, so there's Kaddish in between? And what if it's Maftir and a Yom Tov, where it's Kaddish and there's two Sifrei Torah? So the poskim are Mekil if there's both a Kaddish and two Sifrei Torah, so Maftir, Shvi'i and Maftir and a Yom Tov. Most poskim are even Mekil as long as they're, you know, it's Shvi'i and Maftir, it's not such a big deal, but some people want to be machmir, so you'll see that they're dunim about this. Some poskim want to be machmir. Rav Chaim Falaji wanted to be machmir, even a son-in-law and a father-in-law. The Pesach Dvir of the Chidah argues that we don't have to worry about father-in-law and son-in-law. There's a whole list of dunim that arise over this issue. But at any rate, that seems to be the one, I think, in halacha that people take the most seriously, though some of the ramifications are still a little bit unclear. Just another one halachic issue. This is not things that we don't do because of Ayin Hara, but this is one of the, I don't know exactly how this became a segula, but the segula that people do, the red string around your wrist to ward off Ayin Hara. So there are some people who defend this practice. They don't know why they defend it. The Kabbalah Center, in fact, in the States, introduced a patent request for the red string, which was turned down. You can read it. It's entertaining. In the Tshuva's Ber Moshe, he was asked about it, and he says, if people do it, it must be miyusadim al harei kodesh. There must be some source for it. But there is a serious problem with it, and this was... when I was in high school, my principal always used to point this one out, but I just found that it was also apparently the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who said, no, it's Aser Midaraisa, because the Tosefta on the seventh parak of Shabbos, listing all the things which are Darkei Amori, that are forbidden because they're the Amorite practices, has a whole list of different things that are Aser, and one of them was taking a red string and tying it around your finger. My principal always used to say that not only does it not have a source, it's Asur Midaraisa, and apparently that was how the Lubavitcher Rebbe paskined as well. There are many other issues that you can look at in this endless book on Ayin Hara. I really don't understand it very much, but these are just some of the things that I saw that were interesting and, ironically, a little bit halacha l'maisa.